A whole gang of media snoopers, including Jonathan Marks, scans from D.C. to daylight every Thursday here on Radio Netherlands. Their super-duper whopper-doppler receiver gizmos pick out the essence of what's happening in the world of international broadcasting. Radio Netherlands, we have the technology.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
This is the Dutch International Service, Radio Netherlands. Media Network, the weekly communications magazine for shortwave listeners. Produced and presented by Jonathan Marks.
Okay, and thanks for joining us this week. And during the past 7 days, we've managed to answer just under 300 letters to Media Network and also send off the last of the special SSB verifications in connection with Media Quiz 81. Also, you might like to know that one of the transmitters at Bonaire in the Netherlands Antilles has been suffering from a recurring hum problem recently. We're doing our best to fix this as soon as possible. Right, let's start with Media Roundup. A little while back, we looked at the activities of clandestine station Radio Free Kabul, believed to be operating inside Afghanistan against the present government. More details have now emerged, so here's Pete Myers, who's managed to get the same head cold I had last week.
Caught from you, no doubt, Jonathan, and I'm glad that you're not taking your socks off, otherwise we'd all be prone to his athlete's feet as well. Let's talk about underground broadcasting in Afghanistan, which is reported to be growing. Opponents of Soviet intervention in Afghanistan are broadening a network of FM radio transmitters beaming underground political programs to Afghan citizens and Soviet troops. Why are you in Afghanistan? Have you thought about it? Reads the script of one program said to have been sent to Afghanistan for clandestine broadcast to Soviet soldiers over the stations. The speaker, a former Red Army general now living in the West, has a clear message to Soviet troops. With your hands, this country is being seized as a springboard for an invasion into Iran and Pakistan for access to the Persian Gulf. So it says. The low-power mobile transmitters are operated inside Afghanistan by Afghan rebels using recorded cassette tapes sent in from outside the country. Vladimir Bukovsky, a Soviet dissident now living in the West and one of the organizers of Radio Free Kabul, gave these details to reporters in New York. Station operators transmit some of their programs on frequencies used for Soviet entertainment programs and communications among Soviet tanks and helicopters, so said Bukovsky. He gave no evidence that Soviet soldiers are tuning in, but claimed that the programs on Soviet frequencies could hardly be missed. A reaction from the USSR came in an article published on October the 16th in the Soviet government daily Izvestia, possibly referring to the Bukovsky Group's network, and it posed the question, isn't the illegal smuggling into Afghanistan of illicit radio stations for broadcasting anti-government propaganda the most obvious, impudent encroachment on the sovereignty of the Afghan state? Bukovsky, however, says the first three transmitters went on the air last October and that three more arrived in Afghanistan in January. Another transmitting unit will arrive shortly, Bukovsky added, and organizers hope eventually to put 36 on the air if public fundraising drives can raise enough cash. The 7.5-kilogram Italian-made transmitters, each with a 40-kilometer range, broadcast recorded programs in two Afghan languages, Pashto and Dari, from between 15 and 45 minutes daily, in Russian for Soviet troops. One transmitter is said to be in a rebel-controlled area 25 kilometers from Kabul, the Afghan capital, and at least two others are near the Soviet Bagram military base north of Kabul. In the broadcasts, a comparison is made between this war and that of the Nazi occupation of the Soviet Union, its atrocities, and its consequences. Bukovsky claimed many Soviet troops in Afghanistan spend much of their time confined to barracks, where radio receivers are available, and you can really work on them in propaganda terms. He said, however, that the programs don't urge Soviet troops to defect. Other cassettes sent to Afghanistan for broadcast have featured interviews conducted in rebel-held areas, captured Soviet soldiers, and accounts of United Nations appeals for foreign troops to leave Afghan territory. The programs are coordinated by a council in Peshawar, Pakistan, representing most Afghan resistance groups.
Meanwhile, let's cross to our correspondent in New York, USA, Dennis Powell, for the latest on the Cuban-American War of the Airwaves, where there have been some further developments.
Indeed, there has been. The National Association of Broadcasters, which is the big industry organization here in the United States, has issued a report on Cuban interference and the effects of Cuban interference. It says that if Cuba goes ahead with its plans to build a total of 187 stations, that includes the ones they have on the air now and the ones they intend to build, it would cause serious interference with the signals of medium-wave stations in 32 states and the District of Columbia. That would involve more than 200 medium-wave stations. Right now, there are 53 clear-channel medium-wave stations in the United States, and if the Cuban plan goes into effect, 10 of those stations will lose their entire coverage areas at night. 37 of them would lose most of the area their signals currently reach, and only 6 of the clear-channel stations would remain relatively unaffected by interference from Cuba.
Now, isn't this just a political issue at a time like this? Aren't they just blowing it up?
Well, there's some debate on that, both within the government and, in fact, within the NAB. The NAB really stopped short of saying what it would like the government to do. It's saying, would somebody please do something? And, of course, it's been kind of an issue causing some polarization within the NAB because it's currently affecting Florida considerably. And the majority of members of the NAB seem to be saying, well, it's Florida's problem. Let Florida deal with it. But the NAB is saying, well, it will soon be everyone's problem. Many officials from Florida, if not too many broadcasters, have suggested even that the United States go so far as to jam signals from Cuba. But the rest of the NAB is saying, well, be very careful about doing that because you might tend to provoke the Castro regime into putting more stations on the air sooner. Right now, the United States, in fact, is, in addition, involved with not only Cuba in this problem, but also with other countries, because Mexico and Canada are already having some problems. Central American nations are having some problems with Cuban interference, but they're having a lot of other problems also, so it's kind of a back burner item for them.
Dennis Powell. Further south in El Salvador, two of the three clandestine shortwave stations have been making the news. Radio Farabundo Martí, which supports the Farabundo Martí National Liberation Front, announced on March the 8th that it was now using improved and expanded transmitting facilities. They broadcast for about an hour on 6935 kHz, starting at 01 and 11 hours UTC daily, then also at 18:30 Monday to Saturday and 15 hours on Sundays only. It says that it's planning to be on the air all day on March the 27th and 28th, with instructions to listeners on how to beat the elections, according to a report from the BBC Monitoring Service. Meanwhile, another clandestine, Radio Venceremos, the official voice of the FMLN, with transmissions at midnight, 02:30 and 12 hours UTC, again for an hour, has reported that it's receiving solidarity from 28 French radio stations. A monitoring post in Paris has been organised to pick up the broadcasts off the air, translate them into French, and supply the material to the independent FM stations operating in various parts of France. Since reception of Radio Venceremos is at least good enough to monitor here in Europe at certain times, we'd be interested to hear from Media Network listeners in France who can confirm this rebroadcasting claim, perhaps even with a piece of translated program on cassette tape.
Media Network, beware of imitations.
Next in this all-news edition of the programme, let's cross to Andy Sennett in Copenhagen and the editorial offices of the WRTH. So, what have you got for us, Andy?
Well, Radio Japan gets top billing this time because on April the 5th, they introduce a brand new schedule. The biggest change is to the general service, where the old pattern of 15 minutes English followed by Japanese gives way to alternate hourly programs in the two languages. English will be heard on the odd hours, Japanese on the even hours. The exceptions are at 0700 and 2200, when the two transmissions relayed via Sinish, Portugal, remain in the old format. The duration of most programs will be 30 minutes, but English transmissions of 45 minutes start at 1300, 1500 and 1900. In the regional services, retimed English broadcasts are at 1000 till 1100 for Australasia, 1215 till 1245 to Southeast Asia, and 1615 to 1645 UTC to South Asia and Africa. Other English segments are unchanged, but there are many adjustments to other languages. So that's Radio Japan's brand new schedule starting April the 5th. Something that ought to have started already is a new frequency schedule of Radio Denmark, but you may have noticed that it hasn't. Well, our source at Radio Denmark tells us that the test equipment which they need to get the new transmitter on the air has been in use at the domestic longwave station at Kalundborg. It wasn't expected to be available until March the 15th at the earliest, so for the time being, all transmissions remain on 15165 kHz using the old transmitter. Well, we like to include a medium wave item in these reports, and this month I have news of a historic format change to what was once the most popular AM station in the USA. WABC New York on 770 will change to an all-talk format in a few weeks' time, thus ending a long association with contemporary music.
Ron Lundy!
Hello, love! Good morning, everybody! WABC New York, thank you for making WABC the most listened to station in the nation.
An ill-fated attempt to switch to disco music a few years ago caused a big drop in the station's listenership. And despite further changes to a more adult sound and top-rate disc jockeys such as Dan Ingram, the former status of WABC, which, by the way, still calls itself New York's radio station, has not been reached. Most of ABC's top AM stations are now running talk formats, so the network's flagship has finally decided to follow suit. While many people, myself included, regarded WABC as something of an institution in American radio, and we shall mourn the end of an era while recalling the glorious past of 77 WABC. Happily, there are many tapes and even records available to capture the station's exciting sound. But if Top 40 radio is disappearing from the AM band in the USA, it's very much alive in Europe, and nowhere more so than on Radio Luxembourg. Last Sunday, the English service of Luxembourg introduced its summer schedule, and for the first time, at least as far as I can remember, there's a programme intended specially for the shortwave audience, though also carried on 1440 medium wave and FM. Called Earth Link, the programme will be aired at 0100 UTC Mondays on 6090 kHz, although presumably it'll be an hour earlier starting March the 29th. Well, hopefully this programme will not only interest overseas listeners who can write in with requests, messages and so on, but also I hope it will make Luxembourg's British audience more aware of shortwave and perhaps persuade some of them to tune in to other shortwave stations. Now I want to clarify a listing in the WRTH 82 for Costa Rica. Due to a production problem, the corrected information for the country section did not appear, which means that on 6035 kHz there is missing an entry for Radio Nacional de Costa Rica. Well, a letter from the station was forwarded to us by Adolf Schwegler in Germany. According to this, the station uses 2 kilowatts into rhombic antennas beamed north and east, and is on the air at 1100 until 0600 UTC. That's 6035 Radio Nacional de Costa Rica, and other details are the same as for medium wave 575 kHz. We've had a letter from George Jacobs in his role as frequency consultant for WRNO in New Orleans. In it, George mentions that the currently scheduled channel of 15420 kHz at 1800 to 2000 UTC may change by mid-March to 17.775 kHz, which is planned for the summer period. So if you suddenly can't hear WRNO on 15.420, try 17.775 instead. Finally, a reminder that a week on Sunday, many countries in Europe are changing to summertime, and this will affect certain shortwave programs. Well, we could spend all day giving the details, but generally those which change will be heard an hour earlier, though some stations, such as the BRT in Brussels and Helsinki, don't believe in making life as simple as that. Well, we'll try to sort out all the changes and publish them in the WRTH May newsletter. But one thing is certain, here at Radio Netherlands, UTC rules okay, and it's the staff who have to adjust their habits when the clocks change. Isn't it, Jonathan? Jonathan? Come back, Jonathan. The canteen doesn't open for another hour.
No, not at the canteen, Andy. On the telephone, because here's a call from a shortwave monitor here in the Netherlands.
Hello, Jonathan. This is Rudy Van Dalen. Well, I've heard RRI Jakarta on a new frequency in the 31-meter band on 9680 kilohertz. So 9680 kilohertz for RRI Jakarta. I've heard a station with a very nice signal at around 1400 hours UTC, with an interval signal, time check, and an identification as Radio Republik Indonesia, Jakarta.
And here's the tuning signal to look for just before 1400. So that's the music to look out for.
Well, so far, Jonathan, it's not known whether this transmission is coming from new shortwave transmitters inaugurated in February by the Indonesian Ministry of Information. At the time, three shortwave transmitters were switched on, two of 250 kilowatts and one of 100 kilowatt. A transmitter in Medan was intended to cover Europe, one in Jakarta to beam north and eastwards, and finally, one in Biak, aimed at the east and south. The broadcast you just heard mentioned on 9680 kilohertz is audible for about half an hour, until the Deutsche Welle signs on at around 1420 UTC. Our colleagues at the BBC Monitoring Service report that another frequency, 7270 kilohertz, is also in use during this period, carrying the same program.
Well, if you look at page 202 of the 1982 World Radio and Television Handbook, you'll see that Hong Kong has no shortwave transmitters listed. Yet in just over 2 weeks, one of the stations in the British colony, Radio Television Hong Kong, will fire up a transmitter in the 75-metre band. Yesterday we rang Miss Chung Man Yi, controller of radio output for the government station, and I began by asking her why a shortwave transmission is being planned.
We do it only for the weather reports for the South China Sea race goers. RTHK, Radio Television Hong Kong, our organisation, has given up shortwave transmission since 1968 because we only broadcast on AM and FM to our own areas. But every 2 years, when the South China Sea race is on, we have to use shortwave to give them the weather report they need.
I see. Now, when are you going to do it this year? When are you activating the transmitter this year?
We start from the 3rd of April.
That's
5 days, meaning that it runs to the 8th of April, for the race goers from Hong Kong to Philippines, and then from the 14th to the 19th for their return trip.
Okay. And what frequency will that be broadcast on?
The frequency is 3940.
And what time do those weather reports go out?
On GMT terms,
yes,
it's 23:25 and 10:55.
And how long are those reports?
Each one would be 20 minutes, including signals and all sorts of other things. The weather reports themselves are 15 minutes each.
Is this a special broadcast from Radio Television Hong Kong? Or is it...
It's a special broadcast, meaning that it's not to be picked up by our own domestic listeners.
I see. So it's something completely different from the ordinary output from Radio Television Hong Kong.
That's right.
Are you interested in receiving reports from other listeners to find out how far it goes or not?
Oh, yes, because, you see, since the last few years, I think people in Australia and South California can all pick up our weather report, and they have been asking whether we are doing it this year.
这里是香港广播电台. This is Radio Hong Kong.
And just to recap, the frequency is 3940 kilohertz for 20 minutes, starting at 23:25 and 10:55 UTC. The address is simply Broadcasting House, P.O. Box 200, Kowloon, that's K-O-W-L-O-O-N, Kowloon Central Post Office, Hong Kong. Now to Richard Jinbi's Media View feature and part two of our look at Mozambique. We've turned the clock back, remember, to the early 70s.
Private broadcasting in Mozambique was on a much smaller scale than in Angola, with only three stations. Radio Pax, church-owned, operated transmitters on shortwave and medium wave from Beira and could be heard throughout southern Africa. Emissora do Aeroclube de Beira also operated on medium wave and shortwave, but its power output much less than Radio Pax and often not very well heard. The smallest station was Radio Mocidade in Lorenzo Marx.
Aqui, Portugal, Moçambique. Dos seus estúdios no Liceu Salazar, fala Rádio Mocidade.
Rádio Mocidade was operated by a local high school and began broadcasting in 1968 on medium wave, using a 300-watt transmitter and a simple long-wire antenna. On the 7th of September 1974, Mozambique underwent a shattering transformation. The European population in the capital, Lorenzo Marx, staged an uprising. While the Portuguese Foreign Minister, Dr. Mario Soares, and Frelimo leader, Samora Machel, met in the Zambian capital, Lusaka, to end the bitter fighting in Mozambique and hand over independence, dissidents in Lorenzo Marx, in disbelief, took to the streets. The Radio Club de Mozambique, instead of closing down that night, continued into the next day and for 3.5 days more, calling for unity and solidarity among the citizens of Mozambique cities in opposing what they felt was a sellout. Radio Mozambique Livre, Radio Free Mozambique, was born.
Aqui Rádio Moçambique Livre, camaradas, amigos e irmãos moçambicanos.
A população de Quelimane, viva Moçambique Livre!
Some stations, such as Beira and Vila Peri, closed down. Others, like Tet and Inyamban, broadcast non-stop music. In Beira, the armed forces took over Emissora do Aeroclube de Beira to prevent its fall into the hands of supporters of the Lorenzo Marx movement. Radio Pax broadcast exclusively pro-Frelimo material. The country was torn apart. On the 10th of September, the Lorenzo Marx station was handed over to the chief of police and subsequently to the armed forces. The situation on the surface appeared to be normal, but violence soon erupted and thousands of Portuguese fled by whatever means possible, land, sea and air, into neighboring South Africa. Radio stations, swept along by impending freedom, chorused Viva Frelimo, Viva Samora Machel, viva as Forças Armadas. The new order had arrived.
Our thanks to Richard Jinby. Part three soon, but for today it's over now to our North American media correspondent, Dan Robinson.
Well, Jonathan, first a surprise. Radio Portugal using 6255 at 0234 heard this past Monday UTC at 0300 with Portuguese and then English programming at a very strong level. This probably to avoid WRNO on 6155. Unsettled conditions on the first of this month brought some fine long path reception from the Far East and Southeast Asia. On 5010, that's 5010, I was amazed to hear an English language newscast underway at 2306 UTC, this by a female announcer. At around 2309, I was even more astounded to hear the identification, "That's the end of the news," from the Singapore Broadcasting Corporation. Now, reception of Singapore is not the most difficult thing in the world, but it is truly a rarity at 23 hours on the east coast of North America. This is the kind of opening North American listeners should be watching out for as we move out of the deep winter DX season. By the end of March, we'll be in daylight in the 23-hour to zero-hour period, and although that signals the end of the real good DX conditions in our early evening period, there are occasional sensational openings such as the one that brought in Singapore. The same opening also brought Radio Republik Indonesia Studio Palembang. That's Palembang, Indonesia on 4856 at a strong level with their theme, heard on most Indonesian stations, the Song of the Coconut Islands, played at 2258. After a crystal clear ID at 2300 and six time tips, they went into Indonesian news. But Jonathan, the amazing thing about this reception was the length of time the station held out against the Latin American stations. Almost a full half hour. On 4950, a Neimonggu Silinhot, China, heard in Chinese talk at 2303. Note that this station varies at times, but this occasion it was found exactly on 4950. I also did some scanning in our morning period for Indonesians and found Radio Republik Indonesia Jambi on 4927 at 1204 in Indonesian news. This just 2 kilohertz above Heilongjiang, China, holding out on 4925. Guatemala. Radio Maya de Barillas with a full ID at 0205 on 3325. That's 3325. This time fully dominant over the usually present utility station. At the same time, we had Radio Nacional El Salvador on 9553, the split frequency, at 0237. And Radio Venceremos, the guerrilla station, is still constant on its 6907 channel. A quick reminder not to forget early spring African reception, especially in early April. Look for regional Angolans like Emissora da Moxico, heard here in Portuguese news at 0508 on 5192. And the African run continues with Radio Candip, Zaire, Radio Botswana, and Radio Zambia, all putting in fine signals lately on 5067, 4845, and 4910 respectively at around 0400. And try for Botswana's 90-meter frequency, 3356. It was also heard here at 0400 despite utility interference.
But nobody's managed to get a QSL out of Botswana yet.
No, the QSL policy of Radio Botswana continues to be an obstacle for many DXers, Jonathan. But perhaps if you report the 3356 channel, which is a rare item of reception, it'll get you a QSL. Who knows? On to Gabon. Franceville was heard on 4830 on March 3rd, almost as strong as the parallel 4777 at 2215. So that's Franceville, Gabon, on 4830. Seychelles. FVBA was doing nicely on 15200 when it was heard at 0400 with an English newscast and religious programming at 0415. Upper Volta. Amid news of coup plots, Ouagadougou was heard with a mixture of local African music and Western pop from 2243 to 2315 when it gave way to the Latin American stations on 4815. That's Upper Volta, not heard as frequently these days, on 4815. Peru, Radio Quiabamba signed on at 1040 with a clear ID on 5025. Look for their open carrier as early as 1030 UTC. And Radio Andina was doing well lately on 4996, heard one evening with National Anthem in progress at 0458. Two items from Jason Lavery, Salem, Oregon. Radio Agricultura, Chile, at 0945 on 9630, and Radio Excelsior, Brazil, 0915 on 9585. Note that the Peruvian Radio Samaren has apparently changed its name to Radio Amazonas. This on 4815 as heard by Jerry Dexter and Henry Lazarus at 0650 UTC. And Bill Sparks in San Francisco reports the Peruvian Radio Huancavelica on 4885 at 0605 with full ID and sign off at 0607. Bill says that's the first time he's heard Radio Huancavelica in years.
Thanks, Dan. And now a closing item from Tony Jones in Paraguay, who says that the Bolivian broadcaster Radio Fides has come back on the air using 6155 kilohertz. And with that item, we'll have to say goodbye for another week. This is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.
Some stations talk to the world. Radio Netherlands talks to people.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website.
This is Media Network with Jonathan Marks,
where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network program. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.
I regret to inform you this recording is now officially over.